Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wedding 101 Radio Show. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. This program is designed to be a helpful resource both for brides and grooms as well as wedding professionals. It's created to give listeners real insights from top wedding vendor professionals, and each show is designed to have a different type of professional from a different aspect of wedding planning: photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you a lot of great ideas how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from these top professionals. If you have an idea for a guest, please let us know, and we hope you enjoy our broadcast today. Thank you. Our guest today is Sue Becker, and she is a professional organizer. She has a company called From Piles to Smiles. Sue Becker is the founder of, as I mentioned, From Piles to Smiles. It's an organizing and productivity service. Her passion is really helping people develop organizational systems so they can grow and thrive in the life they were meant to live. As a full-time working professional and parent, she knows the positive impact of an organized home and business. There's a peacefulness and joy that comes from feeling in control and having the time to enjoy the things that you really want to have in life. Sue can help you organize and customize to conquer your piles of paperwork, pare down your overwhelming clutter, and streamline your jam-packed schedule. She's helped thousands of people around the world create a substantial change by organizing and simplifying their lives. Sue is also a frequent speaker from corporations and organizations across the country. From Piles to Smiles was started in the year 2000 after spending 20 years as a successful person helping in various auditing, accounting, finance, and marketing positions at a variety of Fortune 500 companies. She became an organizing consultant when she realized that many people didn't have the organizational time management skills that she took for granted. And she has made a successful career by helping so many people, both in the corporate world as well as people in their personal lives. So we'd like to welcome Sue to the program.
Thank you, David.
And just to let everybody know, I've been working with Sue for a number of different projects over many years, and she has been a tremendous help to the growth of my music company, David Rothstein Music. She has helped me personally as well as helping her company really get down to being as refined as possible and getting the best results. So that's absolutely terrific to work with and does a great job. So let's get started. And this is a little bit of a departure than the usual lineup that we have for our radio show in terms of wedding-related vendors and stuff. But I thought this is something that a lot of couples really struggle with, because a lot of times you have different types of personalities, and planning a wedding can be a very stressful thing. And it does require a lot of organization to make sure that you're able to get through it okay and be able to get the best results for your wedding. So one of the biggest challenges brides and grooms are facing during the wedding is the ability to organize and separate their wedding planning details from everything else in their regular life. What are some very simple, basic things that all couples should be doing from the very start to keep their regular life on track while planning their wedding?
Well, certainly I think it's important to just take some time to enjoy being engaged. I think people are constantly in that got to be doing something mode, and it's important just to take some time back and enjoy this time. But that being said, you also do want to make sure that you have an organized path towards your wedding day. So it can be helpful to actually block out wedding planning time. You don't want your wedding planning to take over your life, but you do want to have time blocked out to work on wedding stuff, and you want to make sure that you have a clear idea of what it is you need to be doing related to your wedding. So set aside specific time, maybe every evening after 7 o'clock you work on it for an hour, or maybe it's just on weekends, but you don't want this wedding creep where wedding planning invades your every waking moment. It's certainly okay to have your kind of subconscious, if you come up with ideas and you have a place to track those, but you want to have time for your regular life as well as the wedding life. So to the extent that you can compartmentalize or capture all of your wedding to-dos, but then have time specifically set aside for that, I think that can be helpful.
Yeah, and one of the tips I heard from a couple once, and what they did, and this may not work for everybody, is that they said like Thursday And Monday and Thursday were going to be wedding nights. So they would sit down for, like you said, an hour, hour and a half, go through what needs to be done, assign, here's some jobs for you, here's some jobs for me. And then they would talk about it, what information they came up with just on Thursday. But in the time in between, they wouldn't talk about wedding stuff. And I thought that at least worked for that couple. So that may be a good option. What do you think about that idea?
Absolutely. I mean, certainly anything related to time management and organization, you want to figure out what works for you. But I have found that as well, David, that having specific time blocked out so that you don't feel that you're constantly having to be on top of it. There's a comfort of knowing, I don't have to do everything now. I've got time set aside to handle my wedding-related stuff, so let me just make a note of this idea that popped into my head. I'll capture that, and then when it's my wedding planning time, it's, you know, Thursday nights, then I can go refer to that capture list and work on it then. So it really can be very comforting to have that time set aside specifically.
Yeah, divide and separate, I think, is really the key for all that stuff.
Yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is really important with a lot of couples is that a lot of times one person is more of an A-type personality and one is a little bit more of a B-type personality, and they certainly both have their good qualities about them, but they certainly have some cons about them as well. How do you find a balance between keeping organized within those types of personalities and not asking somebody who's a type B to all of a sudden change into a type A personality? How do you keep the balance between the type A and type B personalities?
Well, hopefully people going into a marriage understand that they're not going to change their spouse as much as they think they can or should. So
right.
That's step one, I think, is accept people where they are. And for each person in the couple, maybe to recognize what their strengths are and what their partner's strengths are, and then divide and conquer based on that. So figure out maybe who's going to be better at doing things like paying the bills, or, you know, in terms of the wedding planning, who's going to be better to make the phone calls to vendors and set up those appointments. Being organized means that you get things done when they need to be done, and you can easily find what you need when you need it. It's not about appearance. It's not really about anything but how it works for each individual. So decide what areas you need agreement on and figure out who's going to be best at dealing with each one of those areas, you know, whether it's within the wedding planning realm or as you're planning for the marriage, too, what tasks people are good at. And I hate to be sexist, but I have absolutely found that, you know, typically the men in the relationship, the garage is their domain and the kitchen is the woman's domain. So let them each organize those areas, but make sure that their partner is tuned into how things are organized in that space. But, you know, just recognize that each one's an individual and you're trying to merge lots of things in your life, including your organizing style.
Yeah, and certainly planning a wedding is certainly a great test of really finding out what your personality really is like, because there are so many decisions to be made and so many aspects to be looked at. One of the biggest things that I think really overtakes a lot of people's lives, certainly when they get into the wedding planning mode, is emails. And it is something that now we can get emails not just from our desktop, we can get them from our laptop, we can get them from our phones, from our iPads, and they seem to be just coming up everywhere. What are some suggestions you'd have for people to be able to keep their wedding emails and personal emails as a separate format?
Well, certainly, whether or not you're planning a wedding, the onslaught of email has just become ferocious in people's lives. And at the same time that it might help people be more productive, it can also really derail somebody's day, because as soon as you are checking email, you're basically having somebody else dictate your day to you. It's almost the same as if somebody were standing in front of you and grabbing your attention. So I think step one is to recognize that when you go into email, prepare to not get anything done that you might have thought was important. So if you go in there with that conscious knowledge, then you can be better prepared to maybe not be as much of a slave to email as you otherwise might be. I think it's important maybe to just have regular times that you check email. And with so many devices that people have, it is almost an addiction, or maybe not almost, maybe it really is an addiction for some people,
right,
to be constantly checking it. And I get it. It's fun. It's interesting. It's a good way to procrastinate because there's something maybe more interesting there than whatever you're working on.
Right.
But I work with people on productivity, and it's hard to be productive productive if you're letting somebody else dictate your day. So have a set time that you're going to check your emails, and then be purposeful. When you go in there and open up an email, don't do that skim and delay where you skim for the fun and the interesting ones, but then you delay taking any action. So you end up with this whole inbox filled with opened but unprocessed emails. You want to make sure that you're purposeful and you're doing something to move each email along on their journey. And then you can also set up rules. So if you're getting emails from wedding vendors and things related to weddings, depending on your email system, you might be able to set up rules that if I get an email from this sender or I get an email with this particular word in the subject line, it automatically goes to a specific folder that I've already set up. So maybe I have a folder related to venues, and I have a folder related to music, and I have a folder related to the other components of my wedding. And when that email comes in, it doesn't even land in my inbox. It goes to one of those folders, and then during that wedding planning time that I've got blocked out, I can go to those folders and deal with it. And maybe, you know, this Thursday night, we're going to work on venues. So I can go to my venue folder, and there's all my emails related to venues. And that way, too, those emails aren't going to clog up the emails that are associated with your regular life. So your wedding stuff kind of can get compartmentalized through the rules that you set up in your email.
Yeah, that's a really good technique. And another one that I've actually come across that I suggest to a lot of my couples is setting up a specific email, wedding email address that is exclusively just for planning your wedding. So instead of emailing things backwards and forwards and folders and stuff, you can also use this technique of having Bob and Julie Wedding 2013 at gmail.com. And then you take all your wedding-related emails and any websites that you register with or any vendors that you're now dealing with, and give them this specific email address. So it allows them to be able to access this this email from anywhere. If they're on vacation in Hawaii, they can both be doing that. If one of them is on a business trip in New York City, they can both be looking at the exact same emails and responding that way. And then the best thing, when they get home from their honeymoon, they can just delete the entire email address, and all the wedding-related emails are totally gone forever.
Great, yeah. And I think even within that, you still might want to consider setting up rules, because there's still going to be such a huge volume that you don't want to necessarily have to wade through each one individually, but do them in a group when you're kind of working on that subject area of your wedding. But yeah, that's a great approach.
I think the two things built together, I think, is definitely going to give you the best results, because the more you can simplify this process, like everything, and Sue is certainly fantastic with that, in terms of really creating systems, not just systems that work with maybe some other client, but really something that fits into your personality and how you actually operate. Because everybody's different, everybody's got different styles, and Sue is really fantastic about figuring out what you're actually going to be able to use in terms of how you really operate and not how you ideally would operate. And so that's what makes things so effective. But doing something with your email, setting them up in a way so that you can separate your personal emails from your wedding emails is really, really crucial.
Absolutely.
Okay, another aspect of planning a wedding is certainly making appointments, visiting vendors, venues, and sometimes having parents involved, or having, obviously, you know, you and your fiancé need to be there. Sometimes there's a wedding planner as well. What are some techniques you suggest for coordinating everybody's calendar so that to make sure there's no conflicts and nothing falls through the cracks?
Well, there's several things you can do in that regard. One certainly is, if you have that regularly scheduled wedding planning time, can I say that in every question you ask?
Sure.
That really is going to be helpful, so that if you know, again, that Saturday afternoons is time that you've got earmarked for wedding planning, or maybe it's time you've got earmarked for vendor visits, then you don't necessarily even have to know on any given day specifically what vendor you're going to. You just need to know Saturday afternoons from now until wedding date, we've got blocked out for doing wedding-related visits. So that's step one, is to make sure that time is blocked out. And if there's any kind of a conflict on any particular date, you need to, of course, let your partner know as soon as possible. But you'll figure out the details of how you're going to spend that day as each week goes along in terms of the appointments you make, but you've always got that time blocked out. And with the advent of electronics, there's so many different ways to share calendars. Certainly Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar are two tools, and there's others out there to help you view somebody else's calendar, send invitations for people to have appointments with you at a particularly scheduled time. So
mm-hmm.
if you can get people on the same page with an electronic calendar, that can be helpful. There's also tools like doodle.com where you can propose particular dates, especially when you're trying to coordinate amongst a large number of people, like maybe a wedding party or going on trying on dresses, that you can use doodle.com to propose some dates and times, and everybody can respond yes or no, I am or I'm not available. And it saves a lot of back and forth, and
right.
the software can help then pin down what's going to be the ideal time to do it. So certainly you want to take advantage of the technology that's out there. The old-fashioned way, of course, was pick up the phone and make a million phone calls, but I think it can be a lot easier now than it used to be.
Yeah, technology has certainly made life easier and a little bit more complicated as well.
Yeah.
So it's really important to be able to find a balance between making sure that you're kind of controlling the technology and it's not the other way around, because it can certainly be very overwhelming. Because I have two iMacs, an iPad, a laptop, and an iPhone 5. So it is a never-ending supply of technology, mm-hmm. but I try to use it only... try to get technology only if it makes my life easier and more efficient, not just a gadget to say I have a gadget, but keeping control of all these different things and using different apps that are out there or some of the programs that you had recommended and mentioned can certainly make things much easier for making your life much more simplified process than just crushed by constantly bing, 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 emails all over the place and everything. So,
right. You brought up a good point, David, though, in terms of the technology being a tool. And it's strictly that. It's a tool. You still need the kind of the self-management skills to use those tools properly. So they're not going to be your salvation. They're just going to be something that assists you in doing the job better in terms of this calendar coordination. But unfortunately, you still have to rely on your own good habits to make sure that you're using the technology properly.
Yeah, it's the human factor that kind of comes into play, because you could have the greatest technology, but if you're not using it the right way, it's completely useless.
Yeah, I had a client who, he had ADHD, so that was certainly a challenge for him in terms of his time management skills, and he was the president of a company and was certainly plagued by lots of appointments, lots of meetings, and lots of to-dos,
mm-hmm.
and he was constantly trying to keep up with the latest time management technology, and it took him quite a while, but I finally was able to convince him that, you know, you need some personal habits around that technology to make it work properly for you. So I encourage people to just recognize that the technology is a help, but it's not the ultimate salvation.
Right. It doesn't replace the human aspects of things.
Yep.
A lot of times brides will go to these bridal showcases, or they're meeting with a lot of different vendors and venues. Do you have some ideas of ways they can organize all these business cards and brochures that they're receiving?
Sure. I think certainly one thing is to maybe put a date on the card so that you can remember what day you visited that particular vendor, and then make a decision when you get home. Don't just put them in a pile, but make a decision about what the next action is. If you feel that there's something you might do with this card that's somebody maybe that's still in the running, then that's a card that you're going to keep. But if you know right off the bat that it's not something you're interested in, get rid of that card, because you're going to have so much volume of stuff that the most you can get rid of right up front, it'll be helpful. And then in terms of those business cards that you decide you do want to keep, again, technology can help out with that. You know, possibly you can scan those cards and scan the brochures and put them in software. If you use Outlook, for example, or ACT, you could scan it into there and then get rid of the paper, but you've still got that information available. In terms of brochures, if the information is available on the vendor website, maybe you don't need the brochure. You can just refer to the website. So maybe don't even take the brochure. Of course, if you need it to show other people, you know, it might be helpful to keep it. So again, you just want to be mindful and purposeful with those pieces of paper. One option for the things that you decide maybe you don't want to scan, and I happen to be more of a paper person, so I'm more likely to want to keep the actual card. There's just something about holding on to it that to me that helps me remember things better. So one possibility is staple the card to a piece of paper, and then you can write notes about the vendor, or maybe you staple it to the notes you already took when you were at the vendor, and then put those cards into a binder. Maybe put the related brochures, you can hole punch those and put them in the binder, or put them in a sheet protector in the binder, and then possibly organize them by category. So you create your own little wedding yellow pages of here's all the venues, here's all the musicians, here's the flowers, all of those different possibilities. So it's getting into some organized fashion that will allow you to be able to find it again when you need it, because having them in a big pile typically isn't the best option. So organize it again in a way that makes sense to you. Could be straight alphabetical, could be by category, but even if it's alphabetical, you want to be consistent. Am I alphabetizing them by the name of the place or the business? Am I alphabetizing by the name of the person? Again, whatever is going to help you trigger being able to find it again. But I think having a binder, for a lot of my clients, that works best because it's easy to refer back to and flip through the pages.
Those are some really, really great points there. And I think that also can be very helpful for a lot of wedding vendors too, because we certainly go to a lot of networking events, and we come home with sometimes 50, 60 business cards, and trying to remember who these various people are can be sometimes be tricky when you're picking up someone's card, you know, a few months after the event. So one thing you can do is certainly, as Sue mentioned, is writing something about that person on the card, or you know, doing something that will trigger who this person exactly is, and then organizing those cards so that you can access it. Because as Sue mentioned, if you have a pile of cards, that's great, but if you can't access, if you need, oh, I need to find a great florist, then you have to dig through a whole pile of business cards to find it, that's really going to slow you down and probably not be able to find the right person. You'll probably find, just go with somebody that you happen to be able to grab their card instantly. But right. So the more organized you can be, the more you can save time and everything.
Yeah. And I do want to mention something about networking events, too, because sometimes people go into those and they do just have, you know, a collection of cards and they walk out not remembering who's who. So one thing to do is certainly before you're on to the next person, take 20 seconds and jot some note down about that card, whether it's about the person's appearance, if their picture's not on the card, to just jog your memory, or some key phrases of things that you talked about to jog your memory. And a trick that I use, and now my secret will be out, and when people meet with me and give me their card, they'll know, if it's somebody that I think is going to be helpful to me or to my clients as somebody I can refer them to, I will fold over the top right-hand corner of their business card. And if it's somebody that I think, you know, there's just nothing there, I'll just, you know, very discreetly, of course, fold over the bottom left-hand corner. So again, when I get home, it's a quicker way for me to sort out the cards that I really want to pursue something about them with. And again, I just toss the cards that aren't going to be of help to me. So I might have to change my system now.
Inside information. Now
yeah.
I know. Boy. Oh, there you go. That's very creative. Okay, one of the other things about planning a wedding is, of course, sending out invitations, save the dates, thank you cards. Do you have some ideas about setting up forms that'll make keeping track of who's responded or hasn't responded much easier? Are there some software programs or some techniques that you'd recommend?
Yes, certainly. I think this is the one area that I hear the most frustration from people about, is not getting responses and having to follow up. So it's important to know who you need to follow up with. And certainly, I think you can create a very simple database, and I've certainly done this with people, just a spreadsheet in Excel. It can even be in Word. It can be on paper as well, again, if you don't have software or you're a paper person. But basically just a sheet with all of the invitees' names down the side, and then columns for whether or not they responded and how many people are coming from that particular invitation. For people who are more kinesthetic, meaning they like to touch and move things, it can be helpful to put that same kind of information on a note card for each person. And this comes in handy not only for being able to sort out these people responded, these people didn't, so I need to go to my no response pile and get back to them, but it's also a way when you are planning the seating that you can spread the cards around and group the cards by seating arrangement and arrange and rearrange. So that's one possible reason to use the note cards, again, if your brain works better in that regard. And you can put all the same kind of information on there. I think another thing you want to include in your spreadsheet or in your note cards is whether or not you've sent thank yous, both for shower gifts and for wedding gifts. So you certainly want to make sure that that's on there. And then if you'd like, you can even enhance, again, either the cards or the database with addresses that can become your holiday card mailing list. So there's some thought you want to put into this ahead of time in terms of how am I going to use this maybe not only for the wedding but beyond the wedding, and how does my brain work in terms of needing to access and retrieve this information.
I think those are great. It's perfect timing, too, because right now at the middle of November, a lot of people are really getting into the holiday mode, and that requires coordinating people's schedules, various going over to this house, going over to that house, and the techniques you were talking about certainly applies to those situations as well. And one of the things that when brides sign up and they get engaged, all of a sudden they get put into all these mailing lists, and they are all of a sudden receiving incredible amounts of stuff in the mail, the snail mail I'm talking about. What are some of the ideas that you may have of sorting through the piles of snail mail that that people are going to be getting once they become engaged and the word gets out, and once they start going, especially if they go to any of the bridal showcases and get put on some of these lists, they are just inundated with getting letters and brochures and stuff sent to them.
Yes. Well, and certainly that is a huge challenge. And just like with the email, I think, first of all, you want to be purposeful. When you get a piece of mail, you need to decide what's the next action I need to take on this. I know that organizations sell lists, so, you know, certainly preventative measures like maybe not putting your business card in a particular drawing because you can really live without the microwave oven as opposed to dealing with all the incoming mail. But even if you're protective of putting your name out there, it's going to get out there anyway. So I think dealing with the mail as you receive it, either yourself if it's coming to your home, or maybe that's one of the things that you do during your wedding planning time with your partner, is to go through and make decisions about each piece of mail, what stays, what goes. And then for the people, for the pieces that you want to keep, you need to decide, okay, how do I want to organize this information so that I'm ready to access it when I need it? So some kind of a filing system for the pieces you want to keep. Just like we talked about having categories for the business cards, maybe you want to do the same things with your mailings and, you know, your brochures. Maybe it gets integrated into that same binder that you may have set up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a card about flower vendors. Here's cards about venues, and I'm going to put those in those yellow pages type categories. Or maybe they just go in actual file folders, and then when it's time to talk about that particular subject, all of the information related to that subject, you know, whether it came through the snail mail or the business cards, is all there in one place. But I think it's critical to be purposeful. Don't let it pile up and become overwhelming. Take the time to go through it and make a decision about each piece as you handle it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really like about your work, Sue, is you're able to is your philosophy of touching things once. You know, and looking at this piece of paper, don't just throw it in a to-do pile. It's like, what's the next action for this piece of paper? Is this something I want to file over here? Is this something I need to call somebody about? Do I need to sign something, email it to it? But doing something right away, I think, is very, very important, because over a period of time, they can really overwhelm you, and really you're not going to be able to access that piece of information, and it's just going to become a giant pile, and then one day you're going to go, ah, this is it, I got to go through it, and then you can go through things, but you'll probably have missed out on some opportunities or some things that needed to miss some deadlines. So the quicker you can get to stuff is always the best policy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you say do something with it right away, absolutely, but I don't want people to think, oh, my gosh, I don't have time to call these venues right away. That's not what we're saying, but it's just do something purposeful with it. Put it in a file or put it in the garbage so that you're ready for whatever the next action is that needs to be taken.
Absolutely. And of course, one of the things that that happens with as you become married is you will move in, you will live together. And so what are some of the tips you may have for organizing a home that has a certain amount of structure, but also has the ability to be realistic and accommodate both styles of a type A and a type B personality?
Well, this can be a real challenge. And I've worked with plenty of couples where it's the opposites attract, that we've got the messy versus the I can't stand to have anything out. And their partner is like, if it's not in sight, it's out of mind. So that out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. So I think you definitely want to have a meeting of the minds. And you probably have some clues about these things because you've visited each other's homes while you were dating and have a sense of how things look, unless they've been very good and consistent about cleaning it up before you show up each time. But you want to honor the other person's organizing style and just, you know, how they function. But you also have to have a meeting of the minds about what's a deal breaker in terms of, I cannot stand having socks on the floor, but I'm okay with you hanging your jacket on the kitchen chair. And not that that's an example from my own home, but you
okay.
need to have those conversations about what you're willing to tolerate and where you need to have a meeting of the mind so that you can both live harmoniously in that space. So you certainly might want to have a no-clutter zone. So I know, you know, when my spouse comes home, he just likes to plop things down wherever. But we need to come to a meeting of the minds to say that the kitchen counter is off limits or the kitchen table is off limits. So have specific ideas on what is and isn't going to be tolerated. And, again, have those conversations before you're in the heat of battle so that you can have some thoughtful conversation about it rather than each of you are taking a defensive mode, and you know it can get very ugly. So kind of think about that ahead of time, and that's not something a lot of people tend to think about. And I've worked with couples who have typically, when they're older, gotten married, and so they've both got the habits that they've developed in their years of living on their own, and now they're merging a household, and it is really stressful. And it's a shame, you know, when two people love each other, to have wars over him leaving things out. So figure out what's going to be a hot button for your relationship and what things that you're willing to tolerate. And then, you know, gently, when somebody kind of violates what the rules are, gently remind them. Because remember, you're changing habits, and that doesn't happen overnight. So just because you had the conversation about not plopping things down on the kitchen counter doesn't mean it's going to happen right away or easily. So go into it with full knowledge about what's possible, that there might be some backsliding, and work together as a team to make sure that you're creating a harmonious home for your new marriage.
Do you believe that women organize differently than men in general?
You know, as much as women, I think, especially want to be considered on the same playing field and the same as men, certainly we have differences. And those definitely roll over into the organizing realm. Women tend to like things pretty. They are more typically focused on appearance, and not to say that men aren't, but I would find that most of my clients, at least, the men are not so much about appearance. They're really more about function. I just need to be able to go into the kitchen and be able to make a sandwich, and the women are more concerned about having nice containers, maybe having things neatly labeled. So there's definitely a difference, but it doesn't mean that it has to be a clash. It just means that what's important to you maybe is not important to me, and vice versa. But even though it's not important to me, I can still comply. You know, I don't particularly care that the mail goes into the pretty basket, but if that matters to you, certainly I can put it in the pretty basket. So again, even though there's differences, it's important to find some common ground in what you're willing to work on together and accommodate together. But I think that the differences are more around appearance necessarily than function. And that's the good news, is that both men and women like to be able to find what they need when they need it. So they're both on the same page in terms of having homes for things and putting things back where they belong. Sometimes it's more a difference of what their tolerance level is. And I don't know that that's a man-woman thing as opposed to just a personality thing. You know, I can tolerate X amount of clutter, whereas my spouse maybe needs every surface clear because they just can't think when there's anything out of place.
Really, very, very interesting, and I think that's, I think that really speaks the truth for a lot of people that that are struggling with that right now. One of the things that one of the principles that you've really are great at is instead of people, a lot of times what happens, and I've certainly been guilty of this myself, is that like, okay, this weekend I'm really going to go get organized, and what's the first thing I do? I race over to the container store and go to Target, and I buy all these containers and I have all this stuff. And then I come back, and then I start looking around, like, how am I going to? So one of the things that you've really helped me develop is, and we're crazy organized with all making sure everything is all in the right place and all as accessible as possible. But before you go out hunting for all kinds of containers and shelving and stuff like that, is to really sit down and go into each room and be like, what is the purpose of this room? What are the things that take place in this room? What information do I need to have access to this? And then start measuring and figuring out specifically what you need before you go out and start trying to reorganize everything all at once. And that is so much more efficient because then you know you've got exactly what you need and you're making decisions based on not just organizing things in general, but what each individual room needs and what happens in that room.
Right. And I think people tend to think of organizing as a concept related to appearance more so than function. And step one is to make sure that you've got function. So exactly as you said, David, you're a great student, identify what is it I do in this room, and so how can I organize it to support the things I want to do in this room. And the kitchen's typically the most complex room because maybe people don't even think about there's a lot of types of activities that go on. I'm preparing meals, I'm eating meals, I'm cleaning up from meals, I'm putting groceries away, and maybe I'm also doing things like paying the bills, and eventually when kids come along, maybe the kids are doing their homework there. So as you said, identify what are all the functions that are going to take place in that room and then organize accordingly. And you certainly don't want to change what's working. If it works that the silverware is in this drawer and the cups are over here, there's typically not a reason to change that. And you really want to only change where there's a functional problem. And then you want to try to store similar things together. And you want to try to store things near where they're used. And again, especially in a kitchen, that can be a real challenge if there's a limited amount of space and all the pots and pans won't fit together. So sometimes being creative and then using containers or using hanging racks or shelving can come into play. But as you identified, step one is not get the container. Step one is figure out the function and the flow and the process and the system, and then how can containers enhance that.
And I think the more honest you can be how you actually operate and how your brain actually works and how what your bad habits are and kind of own them, the better results you're actually going to get. Because if you get some pie in the sky, oh, I'm going to have this intricate system based on, you know, some incredible detail that you know you won't be able to keep up a few weeks afterwards, it's just going to be, you're going to go right back to where you were before. So I think the more honest you can be with yourself, the better results you're going to have. You think that's true?
Absolutely. And as couples are going through this process, it's important that they do this together, at least for areas that they're both going to use. And I mentioned before, you know, oftentimes folks I work with, the garage maybe is the man's domain. So maybe the woman doesn't necessarily need to know so much how things are organized there. Whatever he chooses to do is fine. Just tell me where the hammer is. But in a room like a kitchen, where they're more likely both going to be using it more frequently, it can be helpful for them together to design the organizing system. And sometimes when I work with couples on organizing a space, I'm mediator as much as I am organizer, because there has to be this meeting of the minds about, I know what you want, I know what you want, and right now they seem incompatible. How can we make this flow together? So you know, as a couple, it's important to focus on how can we make this space function so that it works for both of us. And sometimes one person might have to recognize that they're going to be the person that cleans up, that their spouse just, it's just not part of their genetic makeup. It doesn't bother them to have things lying about. So I just recognize up front that I'm the one that's going to have to put it away. But at the same time, to the extent you could make it easy for things to get put away because you've designed the system together, so both of you know where things belong, you've designed it so things are stored logically and conveniently, and maybe you even labeled where things go. So when you're going to put something away or your spouse is going to put something away, there's a label there telling them, no, no, that doesn't go here, that goes elsewhere. So find ways to make it easy for both of you to maintain the system, again, taking into account the different organizing styles each of you might have.
What if you don't have a type A relationship in either of the personalities of the people getting married, and they're both kind of type Bs, and maybe they deal with procrastination a little bit? And what are some ways of, because at some point you do have to have some type of type A aspects to what you're doing. How does a couple that's both a little bit on the type B personality spectrum, how do they deal with getting things done?
Yeah, it certainly can be a challenge. And I work in a lot of homes that that's the case. And usually I'm brought in when there's children involved, because now they recognize that their kids are getting late to school, late to soccer practice, and they recognize, too, they don't want their kids to grow up with the same challenges they had in terms of staying organized. So to the extent that you can enlist the help of people who maybe are better than you at doing some of the things that you're not so good at, whether it's hiring someone like myself to help you organize, or whether it's hiring like a daily money manager who comes in once a week and pays your bills for you, or a cleaning service. People very frequently have people clean their homes, but they often feel a little bit guilty about having help in other areas of their home. So to the extent that you recognize that neither of you are good at doing something, figure out how you can either have some help getting systems set up that you both can use, or having somebody just come on a regular basis and do those things for you if you can afford it. Yard work is another example. Sometimes, too, when both people are not good at it, have someone come in, set up the system, and then use each other as accountability partners to say, we're responsible for cleaning up each room, spending 5 minutes a day cleaning up each room. Come on, let's go. We both agreed we're going to do this. Let's spend the 5 minutes and keep each other accountable for it. But I think recognizing what your strengths are and owning it, owning what your weaknesses are, is certainly critical. I think time management is often probably the most common challenge I see in both members of a couple, that neither couple is good at time management and following schedules. So again, I think getting help, getting a system set up that works for the couple can be critical and kind of set people off on the right track.
Good. In the last remaining moments here, a lot of our audience is basically a lot of brides and grooms. And what would you say, since they just got engaged, they're really excited now, they want to get going, what would you say the first steps are to not fall into the temptation of procrastination since their wedding is over a year away? What are the first steps that they should be taking?
Okay. And certainly, I think, and maybe you've experienced this as well, David, that when people get engaged, the more often they feel like, oh, I got to do everything right away. We're so excited. We want to jump in and get started. So as I said before, take time, enjoy the fact that you're engaged, enjoy that exciting time, and take some time to plan your plan. Identify what it is you need to do. And there's plenty of books out there, web-based checklists out there that can be helpful in helping identify what needs to be done, and maybe the timeline as well as what needs to be done. And identify the categories. So we talked before about the yellow pages for the business cards. You probably want to have those same kinds of categories in terms of your wedding planning. Certainly there's a ceremony to be planned. There's a bridal party to be chosen, clothes to be chosen, venue, music, etc. So spend some time thinking about all of those different areas and identify what are the specific steps that I need to do in each of those categories, and then break it down into manageable tasks. And as you're doing your wedding planning on your Saturday afternoon, pick what tasks are we working on today. So spend some time planning and then executing your plan.
Great. Well, that'll do it for the program. We'd certainly like to thank Sue Becker from Piles to Smiles. You can take a look at her website, which is www.frompilestosmiles.com. Her phone number is 630-724-1111, 630-724-1111. And if you need some great live music for your wedding, feel free to consider us, David Rothstein Music at drsmusic.com. Thank you so much, Sue. Great to have you.
Thanks, David.
And
great.
Hopefully this has been a big help for everybody. And be sure to tune in to our next broadcast of Wedding 101 Radio Show. Thanks, everybody.